Thank you. Thank you so much for that beautiful song of remembrance and praise to the Lord. It is so good to see the Lord at work in the hearts and lives of His people. He is truly an awesome God. You know, the thing that makes Christians different from the people who live around them is that they live differently. And the question that I want you to be thinking about this morning for your own sake is this: what do my neighbors and friends see about me that is different from the world in which I live and the world that surrounds me? Long years ago, in fact, in the first century, when the Emperor Trajan was leading the empire, the Roman Empire, he began to notice the explosive growth that was taking place, the numbers of people who were gathering to follow Jesus Christ. It concerned him, it alarmed him, and it piqued his curiosity. So he called a trusted government official by the name of Pliny, and he said, "I want you to go in among the Christians, and I want you to bring me back a report about them, about what makes them different from all the other people in the empire." So Pliny went out among the Christians, located them, met with them, worshiped with them, or was there when they worshiped, and he came back, and this is the report that was written in the records of history. Let me read it for you. He said, "These Christians bind themselves by a promise, an oath, not for any criminal conduct, but to avoid stealing and robbery or adultery, never to break their word, or to fail to give back a deposit when it's called for." Now, in spite of some exceptions among us today, I would have to say that what was true of those Christians in that first century that caused them to stand apart from the rest of the world around them, and because of their following Christ, that explosive growth among them of people reaching out to Christ, this is what makes the difference today. You see, real faith, real Christian faith, is not only what you believe, but it is how you behave when you believe in Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want you to explore these thoughts with me as we go through Scripture. And my prayer for you today is that the Spirit of God, present in this room, present in your heart, will open the eyes of your understanding to see what it is that makes such a difference in the life of someone who follows Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The key thought here is this: real faith is what you believe. If you turn to the letter to James in the New Testament, toward the back of your Bible there, and we've got some of those scriptures on the screen for you to follow. In James chapter 1 and verse 6, he talks about the faith of a Christian. Let me read for you those words. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Now, whenever the Bible talks about or uses the word faith, it's talking about a personal relationship of trust between a person and God. What do we mean by trusting God? Well, I was just observing this chair here on the platform. Now, one of the things about this chair is this: I have, to my knowledge, I've never sat in that chair. And fact of the matter is, I confess to you, I cannot build a chair. I couldn't even repair a chair. But I want to tell you something about this chair and my relationship to it today. I have faith in that chair. I have faith in that chair that it will hold me up, even though I've never sat in it before. In fact, I'm just going to prove that and sit down in it like this. Feels pretty good. Now, what if I told you, though, now I have faith in that chair. I believe that it will hold me up, but I'm not going to sit in that chair. What would you say about my faith? It's not faith, is it? You see, real faith is what you do, how you behave when you are given a situation. Real faith is trusting in the power and presence of Jesus Christ to forgive your sin, to change your life, to transform your life into His likeness as you live before Him in the life He's given you. That's what real faith is all about. Now, I've walked around in this community for quite a while, and long enough to know this, that if you were to go to the homes in this community, no matter where you would stop, if you just went from house to house down the street, ask this question. Do you believe that in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God? Do you have faith in God? Most likely, in every home that you go to, folks would tell you, sure, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But when they behave or when they act or when they live, do you see a change that Jesus Christ has made in their lives? Sometimes not. What would you say about that faith? Is it real faith? Not according to what James says here, because real faith is what you believe. Here's another thought to keep in mind. Real faith is not only what you believe, but it is what you don't do. Let me read again another verse that we find there in that first chapter of James' letter to the church. He tells us in verse 24, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Now, you want to start with the first word, therefore, which simply means exactly what it says. This is for what is there for this. And what you have just talked about is faith. And therefore, if you have faith, then lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And I like to look back at that verse 19. He gives you another little approach to that. He says, and whatever you hear, do it quickly. In other words, when He communicates to us God's desire for us that we would lay aside all filthiness and all wickedness and receive His word with humility, He means do it quickly. Now, using that as a measuring point for your faith and my faith, is my faith real? When I hear God speak, when I know that God is speaking to me, when He's instructing me, when He's commanding me, He's guiding me, do I do it quickly? That's what Scripture's talking about. Maybe your house is like ours. At our house, we have a daily chore that we have to do. We have to take the garbage out, and there's always something to do to take out the garbage. The same is true in our spiritual life. There is spiritual garbage that has to be taken out. Two words stand out in this verse. One of them is the word filthiness, which refers to the peculiar habits of the world that we're a part of. And what does he say about it? He says, put it away. Put away all the peculiar habits of this world. And the picture there is one of taking off dirty clothing, putting it away. You might say that there are some practices, customs, fads, that are peculiar to this world. Spiritual filthiness, put it away. Lay it aside. Do it quickly. Ask yourself the question as you measure your faith. Is my faith real? The second word he uses is the word wickedness. And this time he's not talking about what we put on ourselves. He's talking about what comes from inside. Wrong thinking. Thoughts that are not appropriate with the spirit and the character of God. He says, put these wrong thoughts away. Get rid of wrong thinking. Now, there's a positive side of faith and there's a negative side. And this putting away. We're talking putting away filthiness, putting away wickedness. You can't just say that's what faith is all about, it's what you don't do. Sort of like the Christian mother who saw her little boy out playing outside, and she raised the window and she said to him, "Johnny, whatever you're doing, stop it." You know, sometimes we just focus on the negative so much that that's all we can think about. Well, there's a positive side to our faith as well. Here in verse 22, he says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Scripture is to be implanted in our minds. Instead of being overrun with wrong thoughts and attitudes, we're to be recognized by our orderliness and cleanliness of our lives. It's different from the world that we live in. I can't tell you how many people said to me, "Pastor, you don't know what it's like out there in the world." Yes, I do. I've had my share of being in the world. I've worked those midnight shifts. I've worked those second shifts. I've been in those industries and those places. I know what the world is like. I'm reminded about a young pastor whom I read about who went to a church, and he was talking to one of the teenagers, and he said to one of the teenagers there, he says, "What do you believe?" Well, this young fellow is pretty sharp. He said, "Well, I believe what my daddy believes." The preacher, he wanted a better answer than that. He said, "Well, what does your daddy believe?" He says, "Well, my daddy believes what my grandpa believes." And the preacher isn't going to let him off the hook. He says, "Well, what does your grandfather believe?" He says, "Oh, we all believe the same thing." Now, then sometimes that's the way we are about our faith. Real faith, can be measured by the difference it makes in what I do. A Christian is not just a feeler and a hearer, he's a doer. And Scripture says, be doers of the word. What you believe changes what you do. Listening is more than just putting away wrong acts, and hearing is more than just putting away wrong acts. It's replacing the wrong with good. It's doing something about it. And when you read the Bible and you read what is the right thing and what is good, and you don't do that, you hear it but you don't do it, then Scripture says, with regard to your faith, I believe the Bible, I believe God, you're fooling yourself. And by the way, that is I think it's called a redundant reflexive. The way they're put in, a redundant reflexive, it really means this: you're fooling yourself. In other words, when we say we have faith, that, "Oh, I'm a believer, I believe in God, but I don't show that in my actions," then we are fooling ourselves. Do we fool our family? Do we fool our friends? Not likely. Do we fool God? Not at all. Is God fooled when he hears our "Praise the Lord, hallelujah," and he looks into our hearts? He knows we're doing that for our own sake, not for his. He's not fooled. Real faith changes us, makes us different. It's not only what we don't do, it's also what we do. Verses 23 and 24 paint a clear picture of what an insincere, unreal faith is. It says in verses 23 and 24, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, but he observes himself and he goes away and immediately he forgets what kind of man he is." James now turns from hearing to listen to seeing and looking. And the word here is very specific. It means taking note exactly of what you hear, exactly what you see, and then continuing in it. Brian Harber is one of my favorite storytellers among Christian teachers. And Brian tells an interesting story that on one occasion, Luther Joe Thompson, who was an evangelist, was speaking in a church and staying in a motel in a community. And when he came into his motel room, the lady who was cleaning the room said to him, "I saw your Bible and your notes there. You must be a preacher." And he said, "Well, I am." And she said, "Well, I'm a Christian too." And Luther Joe then complimented her for being a Christian and being faithful. And he asked her this question. He says, "Do church members around here enjoy their religion?" And the cleaning lady said, "Them that has it does, and that's how you know they has it." In other words, if you don't, you have to do it to enjoy it. If you don't do what you read in God's Word, you're not going to enjoy what you read in God's Word. Them that has it, they do. If you spend the whole day and you go through that day and there's not one thing you can look back on your life that reflects upon the faith that you have in the presence of Jesus Christ and His Spirit in your heart and your life, whether it be to warn you from something you should not do or to guide you in something you do, you're not going to enjoy what He's done in your life. Verse 25 concludes that thought with these words, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a faithful or a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." James isn't saying here that you're not a Christian if you miss a day doing something that you're prompted to do by the Holy Spirit. But what he's saying about it is simply this, that when you have real faith and you put it into action, God brings you joy from it. You enjoy it. There's a delight in what you have experienced. God blesses you. He just blesses you. Here's one other key thought for you to add to it, and that is real faith is control. I think control among Christians in the first century and even today is an issue. It seems to have been there because James, thinking about real faith, illustrates that with a thought by turning the thought of people toward a horse. He says, you know, a horse has a mind of its own. A horse doesn't always want to do what its master tells him to do. That's why you put a bridle on the horse. You put a bit in its mouth and you can guide the horse. You can control the wild nature of the horse and the direction that it should go by putting that in its mouth. With our faith, control and controlling the tongue is heavy stuff. I mean, that's what it's about. If our tongue isn't controlled, then all the good things we do, the church work, the good deeds are useless, he says here. It's useless. I spent 40 years in one church, and I've often thought about this now looking back, not so much then looking at it. But you know what? If I had lost control of my tongue in that community, among those folks in that church, one time in those 40 years, what would have been said about whatever good was done or was accomplished in those 40 years? It would have been useless, wouldn't it? Folks, it is so important to have a real faith, because real faith is a controlling faith. It even controls our words, what we speak, what we do. If we don't control our words and our faith is not real, then what we do is useless. And I can think of a number of other adjectives that would be the same as worthless, empty, fruitless, powerless. Faith that doesn't control the tongue amounts to nothing. That's why the Holy Spirit says to us here that we're to have a real faith, one that controls our lives. It's amazing, you know, when I was a child, one of the things occasionally happened in our family, since there were five of us kids, and I was the oldest of them. If one of them ever reported in sick, it meant lining all of us up and taking us in to see the country doctor. And I never could figure this out exactly, why when we walked into the doctor's office, he would say, the first thing he would say to any one of us, it would be, stick out your tongue. I couldn't figure out, what could he know about my well-being by looking at my tongue? But you know, he seemed to be always able to prescribe exactly what we needed by that. Well, I think the same is true when you want to look at your spiritual faith. Stick out your tongue. You can tell pretty much what's going on and what direction your spirit is going in and what direction your faith is going, whether up or down, by the words that you speak. The Bible has a long list of unacceptable behavior for the tongue. Words like profanity, gossip, slander, bitter words, complaining, whining, lying, and then there are more of them too. Words, you see, are a good indicator of the direction our souls are headed, whether or not our faith is real. Well, I'm going to wrap this up with one more key thought here, and you write this one down if you want to. Real faith is compassionate. I know that because of the words in verse 27 here in chapter 1. Paul says, pure, undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You remember that we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We're to be sensitive to the needs of others. In that first century, orphans and widows had no support system in the community or the government, as we sometimes have in our country. There was no social system to look after people when they were left alone. And many times those who were left alone and who were left without a family to help them wound up in slavery. We live in a nation that prides itself on helping others. But few people ever stop to examine or think, why do we have this tradition in our culture? Why are we concerned at all about the well-being of others? It's because of our heritage of faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God, who teaches us that if our faith is real, if our trust in Him is complete, it will not only include ourselves and our own, but it will include others around us. We're to care for others, for one another. We're to be sensitive about caring for others. I heard a story about a little boy who was a Boy Scout, and you know how Boy Scouts are taught to do good deeds. And he came home one day and he told his mom, I did my good deed for the day. And she said, well, what did you do? He said, well, me and Joe and Billy Bob and Jim and Tom, we helped a little old lady across the street. And his mother said, why did it take all of you to do that? He said, she didn't want to go. You know, sometimes we give about that much thought to the good things we do. We just do them without thinking why we do them. We do them because our faith is real, and it's a faith that is compassionate, that reaches out and embraces others around us too. You know, you recognize I love stories. They teach me more. I can hang my hat on them. And I'll give you one more before we close this chapter on faith right for the moment. Birmingham, England. A Christian woman walking down a street saw a little boy selling newspapers, and it was apparent that he was very poor because it was cold, and he didn't have shoes or socks on. He was standing on a heat vent trying to keep his feet warm, and it just touched her heart as a woman of faith, as a woman who cares for others. She said to the little boy, come in the store with me. And he went into the store, and she bought him a pair of socks and a pair of shoes. And they walked back out on the street, and the lady was about to walk away, and the little boy said, "Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much for my shoes and my socks." She started away a step or two, and then she heard him say, "Ma'am, I got a question." And she stopped, and she said, "What's your question?" He said, "Ma'am, are you God's wife?" And she didn't know what to say. And then she said, "No, but I'm one of his children." And she turned to walk away, and the little fellow called out after her, "Well, I knew you must be of some kin to him." Isn't that what it's all about, our faith? So folks know we are part of the family of God. We're some kin to him. We're his children, adopted by faith, a faith that is so real. Not only does it forgive the sins of the past, but it changes our water so that we don't want to do those things again. And it changes our direction so that we want to do things that help others and help them to want to be a part of the family of God too. So summing up those three things, is your faith, is my faith real? Control my tongue. Care about others. And as I do that, keep myself spotless from the world. Take the garbage out. You know, doesn't that want you to make you want to be a part of the family of God? I think there may be some of you thinking about that today, young or older. You're thinking, "I want to be a part of the family of God." Or you know that you are a part of the family of God already, and you want to belong to a family of God right here and now, even in this church. And let me help you in how you can do that. If you would agree today that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that he died on the cross to pay for your sin debt and mine, and you're willing for him to come into your life and change your life now and forever, then I'm going to invite you in a moment to do what Jesus said when he stood among people. He said, "Come, follow me." Follow Christ. Let him be the Lord of your life. In a few moments when we have prayed, talked with God for a moment, I want to invite you to come and stand with me here for just a few moments here at the front of the building. I'm not going to question you about your faith or what you know about the Bible or anything like that. I just simply want to ask you why you're here today, and if it's to say, "I want people to know that Jesus is my Savior." Whether it happened just now, yesterday, 10 years ago, I want to follow him. If you've never followed him in believer's baptism, following that experience, then come this morning and say, I want to profess my faith like Joe did and like Ethan and Edwin and Heather did just a moment ago. Whatever the decision of your heart, you come as we pray together, as we prepare to sing our last song and give you this opportunity. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you have spoken today about real faith, faith that counts, faith that makes a difference, faith that changes our lives and the lives of other people too. Be with those today who are going to announce their faith and those who are going to ask to be a part of the family of God. Guide them in that decision. With these things we ask you now in the name of Jesus. Amen. While we're singing on that very first stanza, I would invite you to come and join me here as you confess your faith in Christ and then later follow him in believer's baptism, professing what Jesus has done for you in your life. Let's stand together and sing. You come as God leads in your life.
Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to me. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee.